final amen. You've heard the word of the Lord. We're meditating today on Acts chapter 10, verses 34 to 38. We bow our heads in prayer. Lord Jesus, you were baptized to fulfill all righteousness, and in your dear name, countless thousands have been baptized ever since, and yet you know the number of all, the true Israel of all believers in you. Lord Jesus, finally that last person will come to faith, and you will bring us home to yourself, the full, free family of God, justified by grace through faith alone. Bless us this day as we consider our own baptism and the power we receive to trust in you as our Lord and Savior. Help us, Lord Jesus, in your dear name. Amen. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, dearly redeemed soldiers of the cross. There's much that we know from Scripture about Cornelius, the Roman centurion who first heard the words in our sermon text today, which is just part of the sermon that Peter preached at the home of Cornelius. We'd like to consider today what Cornelius would tell us about those words based on Acts chapter 10, if he was here. A Roman centurion to share with us the wonder of being included as the people of God. We'll look in on him in Caesarea, down along the coast of the Mediterranean. Cornelius, the Roman centurion. Thanks for coming. Good to have you at my house. I've retired here along the Mediterranean, and it's a soldier's dream. Beautiful place to retire, especially for a Roman soldier. But when I think back on that day when I was a young soldier so long ago, it was a major change in my life, and it was a major change for the Christian church. It was an awesome day, and it still sends chills down my spine to think about the day that Peter came to my house. Luke, the doctor, did a great job, Holy Spirit inspiring him in Acts chapter 10 in your Bible about what happened to me on that day. I was a Roman soldier in the capital at Caesarea, where Pontius Pilate usually would stay because he didn't like to be up in Jerusalem. You think of the troubles he had when the Jews basically forced him to crucify Jesus of Nazareth. Near riot in Jerusalem, and Pontius Pilate got back to Caesarea as soon as he could. And I was there as an officer of the Roman legion, typically 6,000 Roman soldiers, and I had 100. It was my responsibility to take care of them and to serve the emperor, who by this time considered himself to be God. But not in my heart. My Jewish friends in Palestine had told me and my family about the true God. We were Jews by faith, proselytes of the gate. My wife, my children, and our servants. That day started typically like pretty much any day. I got up early to check on my troops and then came back later in the afternoon when my work was done, and my Jewish friends had taught me to pray. And so I spent most afternoons in prayer. My family as believers, and the servants too, we loved to help the poor people around us because we had learned to fear the God of Israel. And so one day in the afternoon when I was praying, it was about 3 in the afternoon, I'm telling you, I blinked hard because I thought I was seeing things, but there he was, clear as day, shining, an angel of God, and he knew my name. Can you imagine me almost jumping out of my skin when this angel being says, Cornelius? and my heart, tough soldier, just pounding, almost pounding out of my chest as he says, Cornelius, your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. He knew me. He knew my life. And he was speaking such gracious words to me. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner whose house is by the sea. Every soldier likes a plan. Now I had a plan, and I had the men to send. When he left, when he was finished speaking to me, I asked two of my servants and one of my devout troops that was a personal attendant of mine to go to Joppa about a day's march away. What we didn't realize at the time was that God was already at work in Joppa, just up the coast. Because as my men were getting there the next day close to the city, the man that we were supposed to bring back to Caesarea was up on the roof. That was Peter at the home of Simon the tanner. And he was having these strange visions. We heard about this later, about this sheet let down from heaven. You know the Jews have very strict dietary laws. They don't eat snakes and reptiles, and there's other four-footed creatures like pigs. They don't want anything. They don't like bacon like we Romans do. So here's Peter being told by the Lord's voice, get up, Peter, kill and eat. And he objects, and the Lord says, don't call anything impure that God has made clean. Peter told us this happened three times, and he didn't know why. He was confused about it. And wouldn't you know it, it was right when my men were approaching the city, and they came to the house, and Peter was told to go downstairs and meet my three men. And they explained to Peter what was happening, and so kind in their comments about me. They said to Peter, we have come from Cornelius the centurion. He's a righteous, God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. It's true. I feared God. I revered their God as the Lord of all, the Creator and the Savior God. That's what I'd been taught. And my life showed it. And the life of my family showed it. So they told him, a holy angel told Cornelius to have you, Peter, come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say. Peter invited my men in. They stayed overnight, and the next day they came back. Can you imagine how excited I was when this disciple of Jesus of Nazareth came to my house? You have to realize that in those days, all the Jews hated us Gentiles. They just hated us because they were the chosen people of God, and we weren't. And I was a Roman soldier. We were the conquerors. I couldn't really blame the Jews for hating the Romans. But what Peter said to me in my house, I mean, just to have him there almost had me, a Roman soldier, in tears of joy. And everybody in the family, the servants too, they were just so happy that he would even come. But when Peter started to come into my house, I did the normal thing. I got down on my knees in front of him. I mean, this is a man of God. And he grabbed me and he picked me up. He says, no, don't do it. I'm just a man like you. Just a fellow servant of God. So I realized maybe that wasn't the right thing to do, but I was nervous. I was happy and nervous at the same time. And then Peter said something that almost made my heart stop with disappointment. You're well aware that this is against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or visit him. And I thought, it's all been for nothing. But Peter wasn't finished. He says, God has shown me that I should not call any man impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent for me? So I told him what I just told you about the vision of the angel and why we sent for him. God said to send for you, Peter. And here you are at my house. And those words that Peter spoke when he said, "I now know how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear God and do what is right." Peter couldn't know about all the things I had done as a Roman soldier. We slaughtered people. We slaughtered whole nations all around the Mediterranean world. We destroyed cities that would not bow to the emperor. The things I had done, I couldn't even tell my wife. Before the Jews told me about their God, I couldn't sleep at night. I had nightmares. Women and children that we had massacred to spread the name of the emperor. And he was telling me I was acceptable to God, that God would take me. I looked around in the rest of the room, and everybody had tears in their eyes. I couldn't believe it, because they were hearing that the fear of the Lord and the trust in him, that's it? That's the God of the Jews. He didn't look at my Roman face and turn away from me in disgust. He didn't look at everything I did and blame me for that. He was forgiving me for that. And I could see his servant right there in my house telling me, those who fear the Lord are acceptable to him. They do what is right. And I just wanted to show that I was a believer in the Lord. There is no fear of favoritism. Without the favoritism, we could fear God in the right way and respect him and hold him in awe. I was learning about justice. It was a great day in my life, I have to tell you. Peter wasn't done. If that had been the end of the sermon, the peace. Peter said, "You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace." We had heard about that. The prophets, our Jewish friends, had told us. But then this Jesus of Nazareth came, and we heard about him too. Peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. "You know," Peter said, "what has happened throughout Judea. We'd heard it, beginning at Galilee with the baptism that John preached. Jesus went like everybody else to the Jordan River, and John baptized him too. But there was something different about Jesus. Because when he was baptized, there was that voice from heaven that said, 'This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased.' And the Holy Spirit came down on Jesus hard and strong and rested on Jesus in power." We'd heard about how Jesus went around throughout Judea and Galilee after his baptism. He was anointed with the Holy Spirit of power, and he kept doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We'd heard about that forgiveness. And the more Peter talked, the more this peace settled onto my heart that I'm forgiven too. Here he is in my house as a Gentile. And all these Gentile friends of mine that came over. And he's telling us all that we're included in the grace and mercy of the God of Israel because of Yeshua Moshiach, Jesus Messiah. I glanced over at my wife, and she smiled back. And that was the first time she'd smiled since our little boy died. And she was at peace. I could just see it. I could look around at my friends, and they were rejoicing too. And there was something about what Peter could tell us as he went on with his sermon. He said, "We're eyewitnesses." You know, a soldier wants to talk to somebody who's been there, somebody who's seen it. And Peter could tell you what he saw and what he heard with his own eyes and his own ears. He was an eyewitness. "We saw him hanging on the tree, but we saw that God raised him on the third day and caused him to be seen by certain eyewitnesses," and Peter told us he was one of them. "Raised from the dead and commanded to preach, to proclaim to the people all throughout the world and testify that he is the one whom God appointed to judge the living and the dead." And at that point, my heart almost stopped because I thought, judge? Judge the living and the dead? But Peter said, all the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness through his name. His name. My Jewish friends taught me that name. They told me what Jesus means. It means Savior. And the prophets said the Gentiles would be included. This was all foretold, and now Peter was telling us it came true. He was foretold as the Savior of all. And then this miracle happened. While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit came down on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. And we were speaking in languages and praising God, languages that we'd not heard before. Peter was telling us all what God had done so that all of us could understand. Peter said, can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They receive the Holy Spirit just as we have. Spirit and water always go together in Christian baptism. And so we were all baptized, and he stayed with us for a few days. It was an awesome day. Great turning point in my life. I spent the rest of my life serving God, telling everyone I could that Jesus was their Savior too. It's been many years since then. We've heard how Peter was killed by Nero, Paul on the same day, as much as we know. My wife is gone too. But I have that hope of heaven. I have that hope that someday soon I'll see her and my son again and all who died trusting in him. What I've learned about God's justice, a soldier knows the justice, is that every sin needs to be punished. Mine too. But they were punished. God figured out a way to send Yeshua Moshiach, the Savior of the Jewish people and the Savior of all, to be punished for the sins of all. Now God's justice is on our side. My side. Your side. As baptized children of God. This is what I love about the God of the Jews. We Romans, pagans, had our gods too, you know, Jupiter, Venus, and Mars, and all them. They demand everything and give nothing. We never knew as pagans whether we'd be better off after death or we'd be pushing a rock forever up a hill someplace in hell. But the God of the Jews, for all the time that the earth has been in his existence, that God has been saying there would be a Savior, that justice would be satisfied. And so it is. And I look forward to the day when I can go home to be with the God of Israel. Onward, Christian soldiers.